Miss La Creevy, intent upon her mission for Nicholas, to let his mother and sister know he is back in London, finds the door of Mrs. Nickleby's gloomy house ajar. She steps in.
You see, this letter is signed by the loving daughter of the unfortunate man Squeers.
It cannot be.
But yes. She adds in a postscriptum, I pity his ignorance and despise him. This is your precious son, ma'am. Your beloved boy.
Letting herself out into the street, Miss La Creevy resolves to hurry back to Nicholas, who waits at a corner, and tell him to announce himself immediately, wasting no time at all. For if ever he was needed, it is now.
Pretty, ma'am. Very pretty. I recommended him against all my previous convictions, for I knew he would do no good. And what is the result? Conduct for which he might hold up his hand at the Old Bailey.
Oh, I will never believe it, Mama. We can never believe such a thing.
My dear, you wrong a worthy man. These are not inventions. The man is assaulted. Your brother is not to be found. This boy of whom they speak goes with him. These are facts, remember.
It is impossible. Nicholas, a thief. How can you hear such things, Mama?
Poor Mrs. Nickleby, never renowned for possessing the clearest understanding, is so upset by everything that has fallen on her lately that she can only weep and weep.
You realize that it would be my duty, if he came my way, to deliver him up to justice. I should have no other course as a man of the world, as a man of business, to pursue. And yet...
And he stares furtively and fixedly at Kate.
I would not, for I would wish to spare the feelings of his... of his sister. And of his mother, of course.
Thus are bargains made in the world of business, for Kate understands very well that this is held out as an additional inducement for her to keep silent about the events of Sunday night.
Everything combines to prove the truth of this letter, as if indeed there were any possibility of disputing it. Do innocent men steal away from the sight of honest folks? Do they skulk in hiding places like outlaws? Do they prowl the countryside with vagabonds? Do they riot, assault, steal? What are these charges? What do you call them, if not alarm? You! Stand back, sir.
No, you stand back, or by God, I'll...
No, be calm. Consider...
When I consider all and think of what has happened, I need to be made of iron to stand before him.
Or brass. There's nothing hard enough in flesh and blood to face it out.
Oh, am I supposed to have dishonored someone?
Your mother thinks so.
Only if her ears have been poisoned by you. A man who, whilst pretending to help her, whilst accepting the thanks she has poured upon you, has in truth arranged for insult, wrong, and indignity to be heaped upon my head. You sent me to a den where sordid cruelty runs, where misery stalks, where light-hearted childishness sinks into the heaviness of age.
Oh, very dramatic words, my young man.
I call heaven to witness. I have seen this, and you know it.
I know that young puppies bark loudest.
Oh!
No, Nicholas, be more patient. Prove to him he is wrong. Do not play his game. Tell us what you really did and show up his lies.
What do you accuse me, sir?
You attacked your master. You came within an ace of being tried for murder. I speak plainly. These are facts. Bluster as you will, facts.
I interfered to save a poor creature from brutal cruelty. If there was murder to be done, it would have been done on the boy Smike by the man Squeers. And yes, I punished him. And yes, he will remember it, though it was far less than he deserved. And... if the same scene were played before me now, yes, I would do the same. Except I would hit harder and heavier.
Is this penitence, Mrs. Nickleby? Miss Nickleby, do we see penitence?
Mama, say nothing now.
What is that to say?
Nicholas, they accuse you of stealing a ring.
There was a ring.
Oh, no!
A worthless ring. Dropped into my clothes by Mrs. Squeers early in the morning I left the place. I found it when I opened my bundle on the road. I returned it at once by coach. They have it now.
I knew. And what about this boy? The rebellious boy with whom you left?
Smike! A poor creature. Made almost mad through years of brutality.
He is with me now where I lodge.
You hear? Everything proved on your own confession. Do you choose to restore the boy, sir?
Not to the man with whom I found him.
I wish I knew who his parents were, though, so I could wring something from their sense of shame, even if they are dead to every natural feeling.
Indeed. Now, will you hear a word or two from me?
You can speak when and say what you please. It means nothing to me.
Mighty well for you, but it might mean something to others. I will address your mother, sir, who knows the world. Of what I have done, or meant to do for you, ma'am, and for my niece, I say not one syllable. I held out no promise and leave you to judge for yourself. I hold out no threat now, but I say that this boy, willful and disorderly as he is, should not have one penny of my money or one crust of my bread or one grasp of my hand to save him from the highest gallows in Europe. I will not meet him, come where he comes, or hear his name. I will not help him or those who help him. In full knowledge of what he is doing to you, he has come back to aggravate your wants and to be a burden upon his sister's scant wages.
Oh, how dare you say
Nicholas,
as much!
Nicholas, please.
Listen to your sister, boy. She has a wiser head than yours. I say that since I cannot ask you to renounce him, ma'am, then my only recourse is to leave you now to your own devices. I shall see you no more.
Do not speak so to my mother, sir. You can see how distressed she is.
I can speak in no other way.
And as for your support, Uncle, why, we can find lodging at the workhouse if we must. And I dare say the sooner we go, the better you will like it.
Who can say how Ralph might have responded to these words? Who can say whether his threat is in earnest or to achieve yet one more purpose?
Stay. You need not leave this place, sir. It will be relieved of my presence in 1 minute, and it will be many and many a day before I ever return here.
Oh, Nicholas, no! Do not go away now that you are here again. Someone say something to him.
But there is no one to speak. Mrs. Nickleby is lost in tears and confusion, not knowing where to turn. Ralph closes his face and turns away, hiding a small grin of triumph.
Settle it as you will.
Kate, I never meant to stay with you. Think better of me than that. I might leave London a few hours sooner than otherwise, but what is it? We can't forget each other by being apart, and believe me, better days will come when we shall part no more. Be a woman, Kate. And do not make me one while he looks on.
Trust me, Nicholas. I will not give way.
Do not trouble on my account. I will wait outside. Make your farewell as you wish.
Dearest Nicholas, must you leave again so soon?
Oh, Kate, my dear, I am no protector, no help to you at all. I shall bring you nothing but sorrow and want.
No, no, it isn't so. You're the world to us.
But you will be helped while I'm not here. Dear Kate, there are friends to watch over you, and they will do so. All good angels bless you, Kate. Till I can carry you to some home of mine where we will find all the happiness of days gone by. And we will talk of these present dark days as if they are no more than a tale in a book.
Oh, Nicholas, no.
No, don't hold me back. Don't keep me. Let me go now. Dear girl. Dear girl.
Well, sir, have you done? You've surely done enough.
Whatever step you take, sir, I will keep a strict account of. There will be a day of reckoning for you and I sooner or later, and it will be a heavy day for you if my mother or sister are wronged.
Ralph does not let one muscle of his face flicker to show he has heard a word. The two men stare at each other. Then Nicholas turns and strides away, and Ralph stands outside the dusty old house in Thames Street, considering. The agitation of the day, added to the effects of Sunday night, mean 3 days pass before Kate once again makes her way at 8 in the morning to her work at Madame Antolini's millinery and dress shop. And yet when she arrives, there is no shop. That is to say, the shop is there, but the contents are missing.
What more can you do to Cellini! Munt, if you must know the truth.
What has happened? Where is Miss...
Knark? Gone. The girls? Gone! Munt!
Munt? What is Munt?
Mantolini is Munt! Or was until he changed his name. My Mantolini. And where is he? Recovering his spirits, poor soul. He is much affected by events.
But, madame, what events?
Bankruptcy!
Oh, no.
Our bankruptcy! Oh, he was upset, I say. Oh, the wretch! How could he do this to me? £1,527.49. And he said, damn the halfpenny, the rich, the poor dear man. So troubled within himself, you know, Kate, dear, he turned the butter knife upon his very own breast. Would have died for it. Would have, should have, such destructive extravagance. I cannot bear him. And yet I was able to stay his arm even as he brandished this very knife.
It does not look so very sharp. Besides, it has a round end.
Nevertheless, my dear, it was most Roman.
Surely the debts were his fault.
I spoke very cruelly to him, and he cannot bear it. Seeing all our stock, all the cloth and lace, all of it, in the hands of the bailiffs, was simply too much.
But what will you do, madame?
Oh, we shall do very well yet, you will see. At least most of the stock was on credit, so we ain't actually lost too much. No, I dare say we shall go on in one way or another. As for you, my dear girl, I suppose that...
I am out of a position.
You, as Mantolini and I, must shift for ourselves. Have you any thoughts?
Not one, madame. I don't know what will become of us now.
Whilst Madame Mantolini finds herself in a situation of some difficulty, and Kate Nickleby finds herself in no situation at all, her brother Nicholas is bidding farewell to London, stepping out along the road once more with Smike by his side.
Smike, my heart and my fortune are forever linked to yours, so let us step out together and see what fortune brings us.